Hello friends, welcome to this chapter number 2 of Organization Behavior. It's titled as OB, Challenges and Opportunities. In chapter number 1, we covered the need to understand behavior. I spoke about the importance of knowing the behavior of oneself and others. I also spoke about the different parts of human behavior, which is different disciplinary approaches towards understanding human behavior. We also spoke about the importance of understanding which part of the person we are addressing in Models of Man. So the first chapter set a tone to understand the need to study behavior, and now in chapter number 2 we are seeing the macro picture. Why do we need to do this? Things which appear to be not related to behavior, but they are about business challenges, changes in the world, changes between countries. So many aspects are there which seem to be much away from the individual, but it affects the individual in society, at workplace and elsewhere. That's why this chapter is titled as Organization Behavior, Challenges and Opportunities. So let's get started. The topics covered under this chapter include the introduction as usual. Then we are taking the topic on globalization, challenges of social systems on OB. Then we have an interesting model called the Hofstede model of 4 cultural dimensions, which has been covered slightly in chapter number 1. E, religions and behavioral implications. F, cultural diversity at work. G, virtual organizations and behavioral implications. And finally, we conclude with need for learning organizations. So let's take the very first one, an introduction. This chapter covers the various changes that are a part of the 21st century life. When we transited from the millennium, from 1999 to 2000 and even before, all of us are aware that changes were taking place very rapidly. The IT boom, the way the businesses were conducted were changing, and so did the social life of people. What was happening before was different from what is happening now in terms of social living, in terms of work, in terms of behavior between societies and people and countries. Now this change is happening at the same time very rapidly. Underline, rapidly it's happening. And many of us are finding it challenging to understand what's going on. What are we talking about in this case? We find ourselves rooted to some status quo, some sort of a habit, a behavior with which we are used to. When I do something new for the first time, I find it challenging to do it. But when I repeatedly do it, it becomes what I spoke about as a skill. And then I get used to that, it becomes like a second nature of mine. And then that is producing results for me, so I continue with the same behavior. It gives me what is called as a stability and comfort zone. Because of which point number B comes into picture. Human behavior resists change. Human behavior resists change. When things are going on the way they are going on, people would still resist to go for something better. So whenever there's a change coming up, or a change is sensed, a change is talked about, you can see resistance in humans. And it shows majorly in the behavior. People may not fight a change physically. People may not get into violence when a change happens. But it is shown in different types of manifestations. So human behavior naturally resists change. Human behavior naturally resists change because human behavior adapts itself to stability and comfort. Human behavior adapts itself to stability and comfort. Why do people don't want to change? Because it affects human behavior. Point number C. Changes affect human behavior. When I was a student doing science before I did my engineering, I had one type of a behavior. And the change took place by myself getting an admission in engineering and starting my engineering lectures. And that brought about a change in the way I was behaving with myself. The old discipline, the old way of doing things had to make way for the new way of doing things. Was it painful? Yes, to an extent. Any change is painful. But let me give you one small tip. If a change has to be less painful, get focus to the goal of the new change. If a change has to be less painful, get focused to the goal of the new change. So when I went into engineering, my focus was with my engineering completion. So the moment the focus comes in, your energies are diverted towards the focus. Your thinking, your words, your actions, and hence your behavior and habits. It's a willing transition one needs to go through. And that's exactly what happens. A human behavior, when it goes through a change, it gets affected. So some of the recent changes that have impacted behavior, individually as well as collectively, are globalization of economies. The various economies of the world, the various nations, the advanced countries, the developing countries, and the others who are wanting to fall in line. There's a gradual globalization taking place. It's a separate chapter, a separate treatment, globalization, in a subject called strategic management, which you'll be learning. I'll briefly talk about what is globalization. It's all about making the whole world as one village or one entity, wherein the physical boundaries and the national boundaries are only for the purpose of governance and taking care of the country, but in terms of commerce and business, everything is opened up. The doors are opened up between countries, among countries, broadly. The second recent change that's affected people and their behavior are the strides in information technology. Strides are long steps, leaps. IT, information technology, as we know, has gone a long, long way. I come from a generation where we had never been exposed to computers in the start. We never had calculators when we started our studies in engineering. We were using the beautiful, the classical slide rules. And then the transition took place. Gradually, we had scientific calculators coming in, and gradually things started moving ahead. One fine morning, while I was in my career, in my working life, I came across this beautiful thing called a computer, a huge one lying in a big chamber like this. And then that was something new, and it was, people were looking at it with awe, with a lot of wonder, as if it's something very huge and esoteric, we can't touch it. So when that thing came up, it became a sort of a buzzword. Now, when something new comes like that, a new technology is introduced, the existing consumers who are using a different type of a technology or a different type of a use, they normally resist. They look at something new with a lot of maybe suspicion, maybe interest, maybe adventure, but accepting it readily and entering into it would take quite a while. And then when the IT boom started, when we had a lot of IT things coming now, the mainframe computers shrunk into the desktops, And further we got laptops, and now we have got everything we can think about. And the information technology in terms of software, hardware, connectivity, etc. has frog-leaped much, much ahead. So those strides are also affecting human behavior. I have a relative of mine who used to work for a nationalized bank. And for some reason he resisted change when the information technology was a part of the banking changes. And guess what happened? His behavior remained cynical towards the technological development. We find this happening with many people. Because he was cynical, he was not willing to learn. And because he was not willing to learn, he got outdated. The bank had to do something, so they went on transferring to different places. Because he had to be used somewhere where his utility is there. Now, the transfer also made him further cynical, and then he got very negative. With a very angry note, he just quit. He took a voluntary retirement at the age of 53. And then very energetic person, intelligent person, but this attitude of not wanting to change affected him and his family. Just imagine. Now, whenever a change takes place, if you are with the change willingly, you would not have much of problems in changing your behavior. It takes quite a while, definitely. It takes a while, it's not easy. But then one has to be willing to do that. So strides in information technology has made a major impact on one or two generations of people. Next comes diversity of human resources at workplace. What do you mean by diversity? Diversity means people coming from different regions, different religions, different countries, both the genders, male and female, coming together and working. This has become now a very routine in every organization. During our times, when I started my career, we had single gender working by and large. 80 to 90% of the people working were all males, especially in a production center. There were hardly about 5%, maybe 10% ladies working for the reasons which prevailed at that point of time. No negative comment. But when changes have taken place, now what is happening is, we are having globalization. The IT boom is going much ahead in leaps and bounds. At the same time, people are able to be mobile from place to place. And so we find that people cross nations are working with each other. Citizens from US come to India to work. The Indian citizens go and work in Japan, and so on and so forth. When you're working with your one single Indian culture, you have one set of behavior. Yes or no? I'm sure you will agree with me. When you're working with known people, our own Indians in the Indian culture, even if they belong to different regions, we have some sort of a common ethos of working. When we are working only with, say, one gender, we have one way of working, one set of habits and behavior. But the moment we have the opposite gender coming in, our behaviors will go through a transition. It has to go through a transition to adapt to the changing situation. So when we have people from other nations coming and working with us, then we need to adapt to them. And to adapt to them, we need to understand them. There are two ways of looking at a person who's coming from outside. Look at him with suspicion, look at him with hostility, reject him and create a toxic energy. Some people do that. The proactive way of looking at it is, learn from him, understand him, include him in the conversations, and learn to adapt with each other so that they work as a team. Diversity in human resources at the workplace is increasing in leaps and bounds. The future is going to see companies and societies wherein people will be from everywhere, you can find them together. This diversity is showing in so many different aspects. Look at the food available. When we used to go to one region, we used to get only that regional food once upon a time. Today there is a diversity in food also. I, as a South Indian, when I go to Rajasthan, I get idli dosa. Maybe better than some which are made in South. Now, this exchange of people, movement of people, movement of business from place to place is creating the diversity. Then we have the cultural issues. The cultural issues are a lot to do with the type of background I come from, the type of conditioning I go through, that identity I have made for myself through certain behaviors, habits and practices. So all these things put together makes me create an identity of behavior, of thoughts, which to a large extent, if not totally, is quite pronounced and rigid. Cultural embedding, as you call it. The cultural embedding in each of us, especially in a culture like India, is very strong. And these cultural issues, they have impacted the human behavior. Look at the way we live with each other. Region to region, the tolerance level was not so high as it is today. First stage is we reject people. We don't tolerate them because they are not like us. Second, we start adjusting and allowing them to be with us, but we are still not happy. There is no other way, but we have to be with them. That type of a resignation type of a behavior comes in. Second stage. Third stage, when you still sustain, maybe you try to understand why he does what he does and then learn to know him. Even then the acceptance doesn't take place. The acceptance takes place in most cases when you're with the person or the people who do not belong to your way of thinking and your region, and God forbid some critical incident takes place. I'm sure all of you will agree. When a critical incident takes place, you find people from two different cultures who have been existing together, they suddenly become bonded. Am I saying that crisis alone bonds people from different cultures? Certainly not. I'm giving you an example about how people bond naturally if they allow the circumstances to flow. But that's not what we're talking about. Here we're talking about, yes, you are different from me, you come from a different culture. Now, are you a person who can adapt with me? Can I adapt with you? Can I try to know you better? Can I willingly accept you? Do I look at you as a threat? Now, these are questions I need to ask myself whenever I meet someone who's different from me. One of the behavioral tips I give myself and others, when I meet someone who's very different from me, let me pause. Let me try to see what is it that I can learn or derive from that other person. Because every human being adds value to every other human being in a team. Every human being adds value to every other human being in a team, or for that matter, even in society. Now, this picture has to be first understood by us. Because once the picture is understood, then we will feel less negative within ourselves. If not for anybody, do it for yourself, that you need to feel good being with people who may not be like you. That's one of the important trainings one has to go through. Self-training. Pause. When I see someone who's just not like me, or rather who's opposite to me, I might get a reaction of a hostility. Can I pause? The moment I pause, some magic takes place. This pause gives me a response. And then I start at least watching him, listening to him. All you need to do is to pause and stay on. This is something which people fail to do in many instances. If I pause and I stay on, sooner or later I realize how to manage the behavior with that other person. This is something which I notice in cultural issues arising from time to time, not only in societies but also in corporate cultures. Every organization has got a culture of its own. So when I leave an organization X, I leave a culture X, and I go to organization Y, I'm entering to culture Y. Now my culture X, which I'm carrying, it will interfere with the culture Y adaptation. So these are issues which one has to keep in mind. Proceeding further, let's discuss what is globalization. It's the interdependency and the integration. The interdependency. What do you mean by interdependency? There are three states with which you and I can be together. I can be independent, you can be independent. One state. where we have nothing to do with each other. I can be dependent on you and you can be dependent on me. Second stage, dependency. Independent, dependent, but the third one is interdependent, which means I depend on you as much as you depend on me. Today we are living in a world that is interdependent. Even if we have a very hostile neighbor, we seem to be interdependent on them on certain trade issues, certain business issues. Integration means what? Bringing things together which may seemingly appear to be not of the same category. Bringing A and B together, integration. Bringing two things which could be otherwise an either or, we are bringing it into an and, integration. So globalization is an interdependency and the bringing together of individual countries of the world. It integrates not only economies but also societies. After all, who's running economies? Human beings. So when human beings from one economy travel to the other economy, then the human beings are anyway going to interact with each other, and so it affects societies and in turn human beings. Globalization process encompasses fields of markets, production, technology and investment. This is the corporate part of it. Globalization results in movement of human beings from place to place. This is a new phenomenon. In the last about 15 years or so, people have been moving like mad, city to city, country to country, short visits for official purposes, which was once upon a time considered to be glamour. Going abroad was a glamour in India. Now no more. People travel for the purpose of work now, and the travel is quite frequent. And because I'm traveling frequently, the understanding about other people seems to be dawning on cultures today. That's a good news. Right? So, what are the features of globalization? Expansion of business across the world. Erasing differences between domestic and foreign market. Domestic means, let's say, Indian market and foreign market, no difference. Which means, if I am selling a pair of jeans in India, that jeans will have the same quality and a comparable pricing with the same jeans being sold in, let's say, Dubai or maybe US. This is one of the features of globalization, erasing differences between domestic and foreign market. Buying and selling goods and services from and to any country. I can buy goods from country A and country A can buy goods from my country. I can sell goods to country B and country B can sell goods to me. Setting up facilities in countries more on business feasibility than on national consideration. Underline the words business feasibility. Wherever I find that I can make this pointer cheap, I can get a good margin over it, I can get cheap labor, I can get better profit margins, I will manufacture this particular pointer there. Although this may be an Indian product whose company is located in India, when I get global, I will try to source this particular pointer maybe in a country like Spain, because I find after deep study that that's a cheaper place, that's much more feasible in terms of business. So I would rather source it from Spain. Ask any automobile company. Those of you working in automobile units, you know about it. Most of the automobile organizations are sourcing most of the components globally for the purpose of business feasibility. More than the national consideration. What do you mean by national consideration? It's India, buy Indian, be Indian, fine, it's excellent. Now, if I'm not getting some product or service in India which is not feasible for me, then my business suffers. Rather, I'm earning more, better foreign exchange perhaps. I'm able to do more for my country, India, if I set up a unit in a place where it is feasible from the business point of view. And that becomes a very good income to the land in terms of GDP. So it makes a lot of sense for a liberalized economy like India to go in for a globalization, a business feasibility. I'm not discussing much on this globalization because it's a separate subject altogether. I want to stay focused on the on the subject which is all about human behavior. But we need to understand that all these things that are happening are affecting my behavior and your behavior. That's where the discussion needs to be connected. Because the same topic you will be coming across in other subjects also. But here the relevance is with respect to behavior and what it does to us. And that's where I'm focused to give you the inputs. Taking it further, product planning and development based on market considerations of the entire world. I plan to design, to manufacture, to test and deliver a product based on the market consideration, not of my country or two countries, but about the entire world, global demands. Sourcing of all resources from across the world. I've already explained this in one of the earlier points. Global orientation in organization strategies, culture and structure. Very interesting. A unit set up in India has global branches everywhere. It's globally working. But the strategies of the company, which is about long-term plans, long-term actions to be taken, its culture of working and the structure of the organization needs to take into consideration the global partnership which it is having with other countries. Indian company having a global unit somewhere in, say, Tokyo, or for that matter in Singapore, or maybe somewhere in Australia. Now these units, they belong to our Indian company, but we cannot be oblivious. We can't be ignoring the fact that they are our company located in different countries. So we need to have strategies. We need to develop a culture which is including all these people and the way they work with us. That's important. And that's where today most of the global companies are into. It's not about me, my country, my region. It's about us as a global village. And that's what is the last point, viewing the entire world as one single market. What are the drivers of globalization? There are some of these things which are already covered in other subjects. I'm just going to run through it. The establishment of what is called as a WTO, World Trade Organization. World Trade Organization is a body which meets up regularly to know how the various countries would do business with each other and thereby try to help each other in terms of commercial advantage. To put it in a nutshell, it's a body that keeps on deliberating from time to time. Different committees and subcommittees and forum are there, and they try to establish this thing. That is the WTO. Growth of the regional integration. Now, regional integration is a term we use to describe how the countries belonging to one area on the globe, they unite together for the purpose of commerce. How countries which belong to one area in the globe, they come together. What is the purpose? When a country belongs to one area, let's say the SAARC countries, S-A-A-R-C, to which India belongs. Now, India is in the center, let's say. Then we have Pakistan, we have Bangladesh, we've got Sri Lanka and several other countries around us. Now, these countries have something common, some common advantages, some common disadvantages, some common challenges, some common threats, some common opportunities. So, the commonality of these countries bring about what is called as a regional integration. They say, look, my problem is also your problem. My surplus is also your surplus. Let's come together and do something so that we integrate as one body. So they form bodies. So one body is SAARC. The another body is ASEAN, which is in Far East. There's a third. There are bodies like EU, the European Union. Okay. So these are all regional integration, which affects the human behavior. Decline in trade barriers. What is meant by trade barrier? When I want to do a business with country X, then that country X has got certain do's and don'ts as far as my business is concerned. They would say that we would not import this particular product from your country. We would not export this from there. And there are certain types of do's and don'ts. that is once for all removed, or it is made as minimum as possible. Trade barriers are declined. Decline in investment barriers. What we call it as FDI, foreign direct investment. The next point I'm covering with this. So the foreign direct investment, it need not be money. It can be even machinery. It can be manpower. It can be anything. So the investment barriers are declining and investment is allowed to come in. Not money alone, but a whole lot of other things. Technological changes. Technological changes, I've already explained. It's going at a rapid pace. And that's one of the important drivers of globalization. And the growth of multinational companies. What's an MNC? An MNC is an organization which is transnational. It's located in one place, but for all practical purposes, it is located everywhere. This one particular place acts just as a central body, but for all practical purposes, every unit which is located in different parts of the world are all integrated with the main unit. And each one is more or less given autonomy to take their own decisions and act in the best interest of the organization growth. Establishment of WTO. Now, WTO briefly has been explained in the slide. WTO stands for World Trade Organization. It was established on 1st January 1995. It facilitates the implementation, the administration, and the operation, and further the objectives of multilateral trade agreements. Multilateral. Lateral means one to one. Multilateral means one to many and many to many. Trade agreements. Regional integration, I've already mentioned it. This is just a run through. Its advantages are, it increases market size. Obviously, when the EU was formed, when SAARC was formed, our understanding among all the SAARC country members increased in terms of trade. So we could give advantages to each other, and it was more like a close unit of people who were helping each other. So it increases market size. If I'm manufacturing something in India, I could easily sell it in Bangladesh or maybe Nepal. It was very easy because the market size increased. Increases demand of products and services that follows. Increases production and employment. Increases economic activity. Decreases prices of products and increases purchasing power. The regional integration bodies, some of them are named here. EU is European Union. All the countries in Europe which came together. Right now we heard about a few months back that Britain wants to come out of it, popularly called as Brexit. So European Union is a group of all the European countries coming together on a common platform. Then we had the NAFTA, which is North American Free Trade Agreement. ASEAN, which is Association of East Asian Nations. And SAARC, which is a South Asian Association for Regional Cooperation. Okay, so these are some of the bodies about which each of us need to be aware. Now, how does it help you in the study of OB? It helps you because it tells you that these are the different bodies in the world, and each body is having its own way of operating, its culture. European EU culture is different, NAFTA culture is different, ASEAN culture is different, and SAARC culture is different. Their needs and demands the various options they have are very different from each other. So if you're talking about behavior between, say, a member of NAFTA and a member from ASEAN, the behavior will be different. Now, if I'm aware of these things, it becomes easy for me to learn to adapt that this is an EU member, so EU member would be behaving this way. This is an ASEAN member, so he'll be behaving this way. So that's where the behavior part of it comes. So when you go for a delegation, you go as a delegation member for a conference abroad, you know that these are the things that you can expect from them. Certain habits, certain types of gestures, certain types of customs and rituals are different from different regions. So that's where this comes in.